Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to talk with Oro Bogado, who is a writer for Color Lines and has been covering the Indocubus. We're going to have Geraldo Torres on, who was an Indocubus writer. He's an undocumented union carpenter living in Phoenix, born in Mexico, fled Mexico because for many reasons, part of which is that he was gay and had to leave his society and came here, and was just arrested in Charlotte. We'll hear more about that. And Oro Bogado, welcome. Good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
All right, talk to us about, and our guest from last segment, Dr. Ken Morgan, has stayed with us. He might have a question, too. We invited him to stay with us, so he's here as well. Tell our listeners about Indocubus, because I think that many people don't even know what we're talking about.
Right. Well, Indocubus had about 40 writers that started in Phoenix, Arizona, which listeners might know is one of the most anti-immigrant cities in the country, and rode through the south of the U.S., making stops along iconic places that were part of the Freedom Rides in the 1960s. And they arrived in Charlotte, North Carolina, a couple of days ago to prepare to have their voices heard as part of the Democratic National Convention.
And who's on this bus?
So on the bus are undocumented riders, including students, parents, day laborers, domestic workers. I know that in the past people have been a little more used to seeing undocumented students who are called dreamers. And some of those dreamers felt like their family members weren't being represented, and so they started reaching out to a different generation of undocumented immigrants, namely their parents, and the parents joined as well.
What happened today was that Geraldo Torres, who was going to be a guest on the show along with you, was arrested in Charlotte, Charlottesville, North Carolina, at the Democratic National Convention. Tell us what happened and why he and perhaps others were arrested. What was going on?
So, as you mentioned, he was arrested right outside the DNC about an hour ago with seven other people. And as soon as I saw that there was an imminent arrest happening and that they did begin arresting Gerardo, I started to think, oh, how do we scramble around this? I know that there's a second guest that's expected. But I started thinking that there's a lesson in this, too, because if this guest isn't here to be with us to speak for himself, it almost is representative of the way that people's voices are silenced when they are deported. And how hard it is to scramble, not just to get a guest on the radio, but how hard it must be for a family to scramble when a family member is deported. And so the eight people were there shutting down the intersection. They were arrested for blocking traffic, and they were demanding that delegates and politicians and celebrities and the press listen to what they're saying about their experience with immigration in this country and the fact that Obama made certain promises 4 years ago, which he hasn't kept up. And in fact, Obama has deported more than a million people, more than any other administration up until now.
When Geraldo Torres and others were arrested, doesn't he risk deportation being arrested at the demonstration outside of the DNC?
He does risk deportation, but what's interesting, you know, I spent the last week with the writers going city to city, and so when they weren't having events, when they weren't doing actions, and when they weren't sleeping and eating, I would sit down next to different writers and ask them why they joined, and it was really interesting because I kept hearing over and over again, I was really scared. I was really scared to come out. I was scared to drive. I was scared to go to my job. I never wanted to talk to anybody about my status. But once I declared myself undocumented and once I said that I was unafraid, it helped me have a better grasp on my humanness. Some people that I spoke with, a gentleman named Miguel who works in Phoenix, Arizona, he had a really great job and was able to keep that job and support his three children, along with his wife, who also works in Phoenix. And they have a mixed-status family. So a couple of the kids have been born here, and so therefore are citizens. His older daughter was born in Mexico and came here as a child, and so they have a mixed-status family. And he said that every time he left the house, he was just petrified that he might be deported. And so he specifically risked arrest doing a direct action, and he told me, I wanted to be taken to ICE. I didn't want them to release me from the jail. I wanted to get to ICE so that my community, so that my network could really push to get me out of detention and fight for a way for me to stay here so that I know that I won't get pulled over and deported again. And sure enough, that's what happened. He went to jail. He's subsequently was turned over to ICE. He was there for several weeks, and then he was released largely due to pressure from UndocuBus and from other organizations around the country who are putting pressure on ICE and trying to get them to keep their word. The Obama administration said that it was only going after criminals, but that's not what we've seen. They go after everyday people, everyday workers and students. And so this network really tries to put pressure on ICE and is often successful. So Gerardo now will probably soon be applying for a work permit. And he says that because he was able to turn his fear around and take the biggest risk, he now has a better life because of it.
Ken, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. Could you,
Ken Morgan?
Yes. How are you? Could you lay out a little perspective on what the demands are in reference to what and why working people and Black people should support this movement?
Well, immigrants are working people, and a lot of times people will say, oh, they're union busters, they keep wages down low, but a different way to look at that is if people are documented and are able to be fully enveloped into the community, it makes it easier to organize the whole, right? And I think for listeners in Baltimore in particular, they really get the immigration issue, because Baltimore is one of the few cities where undocumented immigrants are treated as human beings, where they're welcomed as part of the broader community. And that's one reason why people should care, working people and other people of color should care, because this is part of your broader community. And another reason why anybody should care is anybody who eats in a restaurant in the United States has eaten food that I would say 90% of the time is cooked by people who are immigrants and often undocumented. People who own homes often have the work done inside and outside the home by people who are undocumented. We cross paths with people who perform work that we otherwise wouldn't be able to get done without these people here. And really, they're part of our larger community. And the immigrants are part of this country, and immigrants need to be part of the political agenda. And that's what UndocuBus is doing here today.
So it's a we.
It is definitely a we.
Okay. So now what goes on from here? So the UndocuBus is there in Charlotte, and where does it go from here? This is because we've had the young people on who we call the Dreamers, but we're talking now about their parents, and though we've talked to some of their parents, many of them are afraid to even come out and talk about anything. So I'm curious where this goes from here. Do you think in terms of the dialogue with America, with what's happened to these? To what happens to them literally.
Right. Well, they do plan on being here the rest of the week. As you might know, San Antonio Mayor Castro is doing the keynote tonight, and the Democrats know, for example, that they need to appeal to Latino voters, not only those who supported Obama 4 years ago, but each of those 50,000 Latinos who turn 18 every month, and those numbers are not going to be going down anytime soon. And so today, this arrest that happened was pushing forward this immigration issue here. It garnered the attention of delegates. It garnered the attention of celebrities like Rosario Dawson, who actually saw the protest, ran over, and began protesting with them. So it definitely garnered a lot of attention. From here forward, their number one priority right now for the writers who didn't get arrested is to locate where their fellow writers are and make sure that they're safe and that if they are put into immigrant detention, that they're eventually released.
And so and you and I are working to get these folks out of jail, I suppose.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
So you're now working to get these folks outside of jail, I suppose.
Right, they are going to be trying to work to get them out. But again, the issue isn't to try to get them to be released immediately out of jail and not be put into ICE holds, but also to get into immigration detention to fight their way out.
Well, I want to thank you, Oro Bagado, for joining us. And Radar for Color Lines, we're talking about UndocuBus. We'll be covering them some more. And I just want to remind you all that the group that Oro Bagado writes for, Color Lines, News for Action, is one of our partners. They are putting on their parent organization is putting on Facing Race, a national conference here in Baltimore, November 17th. And all of you can go to colorlines.com. And click on Register Now, find out more information about the conference. They're inviting all of Baltimore to attend. It'll be a phenomenal weekend of conversation and action, and they'll all be here. And we'll be there as well, taping and talking to folks from around the country. And Oro Bagado, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back from this very brief break, we are going to be joined by two young delegates, representing the Baltimore area, Mitch Case and Caitlin Leiter Mason, who are now delegates at the Democratic National Convention, to find out why they're there and what they expect and what they see. And once again, I want to thank my old friend, Dr. Ken Morgan, now Assistant Professor of Interdisciplinary Studies and Urban Studies at Coppin State University, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.